Several years ago, while on a mission trip to Ukraine, we went up to Russia, went to St. Petersburg, and went to the Hermitage, or the Hermitage, whichever way you want to pronounce it, which is one of the great museums of the world, the building in which all of these articles are encased is the old winter home of the Tsar back in those days, and it's room after room after room. There's hundreds of thousands of artifacts of all sorts in that building. And I remember going through the section where the paintings were, the artist paintings. And in each one of those rooms where those paintings were, many of them original, was a guard sitting there. Suppose I had gone into one of those rooms of a painting of a Rembrandt or a Da Vinci painting and reached in my pocket and pulled out a vial of paint and pulled out a brush and said, "This needs to be corrected right here." What do you think would have happened to me that quick? You said, somebody would be a fool to do something like that, wouldn't they? Well, how much greater is a person a fool who tries to add to or correct the finished work of Christ? He said it's finished. I can't add to that. And neither can I take away from it. Leonardo da Vinci, one of the great painters, as you well know, painted The Last Supper, the Mona Lisa. When he did the Mona Lisa, it took him 16 years to paint that one painting. And most of his paintings were never finished. But when he finished one, it was a masterpiece. My Lord came to this earth. He spent 33 years in the flesh, God in the flesh, painting his masterpiece of redemption. It's finished. It can't be added to. And we'd be foolish to do that, wouldn't we? In our last study, last week, we looked at going to the cross and looked at what our Lord did on that cross. He prayed for his enemies. He promised paradise to a thief. He provided care for his mother. He petitioned his father for an answer. And he proclaimed his agony that we looked at last week. "I thirst," which depicted not only his physical suffering, but his very soul was being offered as a sacrifice for sin, according to Isaiah. We all spent a lot of time at Calvary. I promise you, the more time you spend there, thinking about, looking upon, visioning in your mind what took place there, the more you'll begin to grow in the likeness of him who died there. And the more you'll learn to appreciate him and to love him and to serve him. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all record the fact that Jesus cried out from the cross at the point of his death. But only John records what he cried. "It's finished." And he cried it out with a loud voice, the scripture says, which was to make it a exclamation point to his life on this earth and what he came to do. The ancient Greeks boasted of being able to say much with few words. And here's one of their slogans: to give a sea of matter in a drop of language. They thought that was the great art of speaking. But the Holy Spirit's the champion, isn't he? This is one Greek word, literally finished. Not "it is finished," but finished. Period. Exclamation point. Over. Done. It's one thing for us to think about the finished work of Christ. It's another thing to think about applying that to us, isn't it? Now, we can talk about him hanging on a cross, and we can vision that in our minds, and we can become very sad, and maybe even tears stream down our cheeks when we think about what he did for us. But when we begin to apply the fact that it's all finished, that's sort of humbling. Because that takes everything out of your hands and puts it all in his hands. He sovereignly applies that. I don't make him apply that. I don't coerce him into applying that. I can't do anything to cause him to apply that. He does that out of his love and grace and his mercy, and he does it to whom he pleases to do it. That's his prerogative. He's the Lord of heaven and earth. This is a despairing cry in one sense, but it's also an encouraging cry in another sense. This ought to be the most encouraging declaration our Lord made from the cross for anyone who is struggling with their sin and looking for salvation. It's finished. It's over. It's done. Receive it. Bow to it. Honor it. Apply it through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The great purpose of God in history and toward man is now accomplished. That's what our Lord is saying. As far as our redemption is concerned, all of the Old Testament, when we go back, we'll see in a minute, was pointing to this time. When everything come to a climax, it's finished. It's done. All is fulfilled that was required in God's eternal purpose for the salvation. If it is just one man, he was going to be saved. Require the same thing. All of the types, all of the ceremonies, all of the sacrifices of the Old Testament, all of those things were pointing forward to the Lord Jesus Christ. Fulfilled. Finished. Done. Now there still remained the piercing of his side according to Zechariah 12:10. There still remained the preserving of his bones unbroken in Psalm 34:20. There remained the burial in a rich man's tomb, Isaiah 53, but as far as our redemption was concerned, finished. I'm always amazed, and you should be too, is when you read the scriptures, particularly reading the Old Testament and all the predictions and all the references to the coming of the Savior and seeing them completed in absolute detail, it ought to amaze you. Nothing was left undone. Every jot, every tittle, absolutely everything was perfectly completed. And if that don't cause you to have faith in what this Word teaches and faith in the person this Word teaches us about, I don't know what can. Pointing to Him, our Lord, in His cry, "It is finished," speaks with anticipation of all the fulfillment of these other things that had to take place. Finished was loud enough for the world to hear. The cry was loud. It still goes forth. Finished. Every time you read the scripture, finished. Every time you see a law of the Old Testament that's applied to you, finished. Everything. All the ceremony, finished. All of the types, finished. We just sung it in that song. Finished. All of those things. Our Lord did not cry, "I am finished." He cried, "Finished." He's not finished, but what he came to do, finished. Everything's finished. Now the question is, to what specifically is he referring to when he said finished? Now let me give you some things that this refers to. Number one, the scriptures are finished, completed, fulfilled in relationship to redemption. The prophecies, the prophets, finished. The prophets had predicted all of the remarkable events surrounding his birth, life and death, And these predictions were carefully followed and completed, finished. For hundreds of years, God had been preparing the world for a great entrance of Himself into this world on the behalf of sinful men that they might be redeemed. He came, He did all requirements, finished, done. Every event in history moved toward this great event when Jesus would cry out, "Finished." And here it is. It stands here in Scripture in awesome simplicity. Notice there's no explanation. That's left to the Holy Spirit applying it to you and me. Finished, done, over with. For nearly 2,000 years, Christians have been drawing from this well of spiritual thirst, for spiritual food for their thirst. And every time we let our spiritual buckets down into this concept, this belief, this truth, this declaration, this understanding of the finished work of Christ, we can always bring up fresh water, can we? For our thirsty souls. Always. Always. The types gave way to reality. When you go back to the Old Testament, you go through all of the types. You go through the tabernacle. Look at all the things in the tabernacle. Everything. When you came through the eastern gate, here was that place where the altar lay, where they would slit the throat of the animal and put it on there and fry it to a crisp, take its blood and go in and sprinkle it on the mercy seat. All pointing to Christ. Here was the laver, the next thing you came to. The priest, when he looked down in that, he could see himself, but he cleansed himself before he went into the holy place. In the holy place, here was the showbread. Here was the candlestick. There was that great veil, which was the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. It had all of the emblematic things in it that pertained to Christ. The gold, the purity, the white, the purple. All of it was a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you go into the Holy of Holies. Here was the mercy seat. And the priest went behind there once a year with the blood and sprinkled it on the mercy seat. Tradition tells us they tied a rope on his leg when he went behind the veil to put the blood on the mercy seat. And he had bells on the bottom of his robe that rang when he was walking around back there. The reason they had the bells on and the ropes on, if he made a mistake, God would kill him. Because he was dealing with the picture of redemption in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if he made a mistake, God would kill him and they could drag him out. That's how holy it was back there. It was literally called the Holy of Holies for a reason. Because here is where the finished work of Christ is pictured for us. Here's where the blood was sprinkled. Here's where the blood was satisfactory to the holiness of God was sprinkled. But now, there he hangs in all of his ignominy, hanging on the cross, having suffered beyond anything you and I can possibly comprehend. Finished. Finished. Done. Never to be repeated. Look at all the priestly duties that those guys had back then. Everything they did was perfectly done in accordance with the Word of God. Why? Picture of Him who's going to go to the cross and die. He was our great high priest. He was the one who offered the true sacrifice, wasn't he? He fulfilled all of those types, all of those pictures perfectly for us. And now he hangs on the cross. He's gone through all of that. He's pictured it all. He's suffered it all. And he cries out, "Finished! Finished! The law is fulfilled." That ought to thrill us. That's what this song said we just sung a while ago. The law, the types are being fulfilled. Finished. Are you glad that the law is fulfilled? On the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses stood there with Elijah. Peter, James, and John were there. They appeared with our Lord. And our Lord showed a little bit of His glory. Scripture says it was a lightning light manifestation of Himself there. And Peter, always sticking his foot in his mouth, like we do sometimes, said, "Lord, let's just stay here. Let's build three tabernacles, one for You, one for Elijah, and one for Moses." But something happened. A voice came and said, "Hear him." Right? And when they looked up, they only saw one. Moses and Elijah were gone. Jesus is all they saw. Let me ask you a question. Would you rather see Moses and his law fulfilled in Jesus, or would you still like to be living under it? Would you rather see the prophecies of Elijah fulfilled in Jesus, or would you rather be still looking for a Messiah and one who would come and die for you? They saw Jesus only. That's what the Scripture says. And that's what you and I better see. Jesus only. He fulfilled the law. Perfect. He said, "I came to do what? Fulfill it." And he did perfectly. Every single requirement that God Almighty has for my sins, he did it perfectly. And even went and took up on himself the responsibility for the law that I'd broken, the sins that I'd committed, and paid the price for it. Finished. Finished. You know what the law demands of you? Absolute perfection. That means you can't have an evil thought. You can't have an evil desire. You can't have an evil action. You can't do anything that is not absolutely perfect in the will of Almighty God. That's what the law says. Now, you want to live under that? I believe I'll go to the cross and say, "It's been done for me." Huh? It's finished. It's been fulfilled for me. It's been completed. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. None whatsoever. The law cannot charge me with sin anymore. It's paid for. How do I know? Jesus came forth from the grave, proving that it was totally and absolutely completely paid for. Because he died for me on the cross. What's your receipt that your sins are paid for? How do you know that that finished work is done? How can you be sure of that? Well, I'll tell you what. You go to the grave of Confucius and he's still there. His bones are still there. You go to the grave of Muhammad and his bones are still there. But don't you try to find the bones of my Lord, because he ain't there. He's risen. Proving that everything he did satisfied God's holy law perfectly. It's finished. It's over. It's done. Now, why in the world would we want to add our little flimsy activities to the finished work of Christ? Well, you got to do this. You got to pray this. You got to do that. You got to do this for God to save. You got to know. All you got to do is just fall at his feet and surrender. That's all. That's all. You can't add to that. Let me use another illustration. If I went to a Rembrandt painting and looked up at it and took an old rusty nail and said zoop right down the middle of it, what would you think? Anytime you seek to add to the finished work of Christ, that's exactly what you're doing. You might as well just take an old rusty nail and say it's not worthy. It's finished. It's done. It's over. The law is finished. Prophecy is finished. Types are finished. Scriptures pertaining to the death of Christ are finished. His suffering is finished. We talked about this a lot last week. His humiliation was profound. He who is the Creator, he who is the worship, who is worshipped by celestial beings, he who the creatures of this earth obey, man accepted. You realize all the other creatures obey God except us. This one became man, poor, a servant, suffered from the creatures that he had created. Had no place to lay his head. I can't imagine that. God Almighty invaded this sin-cursed world in the form of His Son and lived among us for 33 years. did everything that the Scripture commands of a man. Everything in detail. And went to a cross and died. There he hangs between heaven and earth. And at that point, forsaken by both. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? And man below walked by hissing at him, wagging their heads. He was forsaken by both. Now, folks, you talk about loneliness. I don't know what that is, do you? But that's what was required for my sins and your sins. But it's finished. Won't happen again. Never again. For those who are in Christ. His suffering was intense. Arrayed in mock royalty. Persecuted, mocked, beaten, crucified. Finished. All done. Never to be repeated. Folks, when my Lord died on that cross for my sins, He died for my past sins, my present sins, and my future sins. All of them finished. Never to be repeated. My justification was purchased right there. Never to be repeated. When I was brought by the Holy Spirit to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I became justified before a holy God that no man can reverse. Period. If you could lose your salvation, what would have to happen before you could be saved? He'd have to come back and do the same thing again. But He finished it. All of it. Never to be repeated. Now, if that don't excite your heart, something wrong. When I'm united to Him and think about what He's done for me, and that's an eternal act, it can never be changed. Justified freely forever. And then He begins the work in us and sanctifying us. That was purchased on the cross too. Even though I'm in the process of being sanctified in the infinite mind of God, guess what? It's completed. It's finished. In the infinite mind of God, according to Romans 8, I'm glorified already. Finished. Now the process is still going on, but it's done. It's finished. It's taken care of. It cannot be reversed. Now how important is it for you to hear those words? It's finished. It's finished. My salvation is completed. Since all prophecy and all types and all the moral law and all suffering is now finished, our Lord means that that great work of redemption is now finished. It's done forevermore. Daniel 9:24 says He had finished transgression, made an end to sin, made reconciliation for the iniquity, and brought in everlasting righteousness. You know what He does when we come to faith in Him? He takes a robe of righteousness, His righteousness, and puts it on us sinners. So when God sees us, guess what God sees? He sees the righteousness of Christ. That's how I'm accepted in His sight. Not something I've done, but what He's done. He robes me in His own righteousness. And God can't refuse His own righteousness. You know that? When I stand before Him in judgment and I plead the righteousness of His Son, that's God's righteousness. And He has to accept it because it's His own. Amazing, isn't it? As Isaiah said, He shall see the travail of His soul and be satisfied. On the cross, during all of those hours, our Lord agonized like a woman giving birth to a child. And when that baby is born, and that doctor throws that baby up on the abdomen of that little woman, and she sees that baby, what happens? She sees the travail of her soul, and she's satisfied. When my Lord died on the cross, He came to the finished work. It's finished. He saw the travail of His birth, and that's you and me. And He was satisfied. It's finished. It's done. It's complete. It's over. I birthed my church. This means that every requirement for justification is now completed. Transgression is dealt with. My guilt has been dealt with. My condemnation has been dealt with. I can stand perfect before God. Not in my own righteousness, but in His. It's finished. This means the basis of my sanctification is finished. Christ never starts what He doesn't finish. As sure as all prophecies, type, suffering, and justification are finished in His death, we can be equally assured that by and through His death, we will be glorified. Experientially. Someday, I'm going to be like He is. For many years, one of my mentors used to say, when I was a young man trying to preach, he'd say, heaven's going to be filled with a bunch of little Jesuses. And it took me a long time to understand what he was saying. What's he saying? Heaven's going to be filled with a bunch of people just like him. Now, I don't know what that means, but the scriptures tell us that. When we see him as he is, John says what? We'll be like he is. Wow. Finished. That was all done on the cross, folks. As sure as the earth exists, we can be assured that all is finished to bring us to full salvation. From justification through sanctification to glorification. Finished. Every requirement. No more requirements for ceremony. No more fear of the law. No more fear of death. No more looking for the Messiah, the Savior. Finished. He's come. He's died. He's finished it. He's gone to the grave. He came forth to prove that His sacrifice was satisfactory to the Father. And then He ascended back to glory to be with the Father where He is now. Someday He's going to come again and receive us unto Himself. And then we'll be like He is. Just like He is. No longer do we have to worry about what God will accept and what He won't accept. We have it in Christ. Finished. He'll accept Him. Let me make one point quickly. When He said it's finished, Satan was defeated. Completely. The battle has been fought. The sacrifice has been made. The sanctuary has been opened. Death has swallowed up into immortality. Satan's defeated because salvation has been completed. It's finished. The table is set. The Savior has set the table. And He says, come on and dine with me. Will you come and dine with Him? Bowing to His finished work. Acknowledging that your salvation is in Him and Him alone. Finished. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad it doesn't depend on what you do? But it depends on what He's done. Finished. Complete. Never again. Now I've got to tell you, a lost person cannot understand that unless the Holy Spirit gives them understanding. But you and I as believers ought to rejoice in it day after day. Finished. The closer some of us older folks gets to heaven, the more precious that word finished becomes. You know it? Finished. Finished. Thank you, Father, for this word that teaches us what you've done for us in Christ Jesus and how you have completed all that is required for us to be with you in glory someday and to be like your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, Holy Spirit, make this real to us. Not just words on a page of this Bible, but words that's imprinted vividly in our hearts and minds, that we may love it, rejoice in it, and honor you in all that we do because of what you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.